All right, so we're just going to try and do a transition with the overheads. There we go. So I want to share some thoughts this morning on boosting your immune system. Is that one going there? Do you want me to flick it? There we go. Look at that. We know that with our natural human body and the immune system that we have, it is designed to fight off invasion of sickness. And if your immune system gets compromised in any way, and it no longer functions, no longer addresses invasions in the medical realm, then often what takes a person out is not the condition that compromised the immune system. It could be as simple as a common cold or whatever. And just because there's no longer any ability to resist or to fight off intrusion in our body. And, you know, God is doing some amazing things, I mean, globally. Aren't you glad to be alive now? In this period of history, He is raising up an army of worshiping warriors. And so hopefully what I want to share this morning will help you. It certainly helped me as I've been meditating on it. About 5 years ago, I went through a period where I was extremely fatigued. And it was more than just the fact that I may have been busy. And I was thinking, man, I just don't have any energy. And so I thought, well, maybe I'm under spiritual attack, you know, and I look at that, because that is a possibility. And then I think it was Lynn says, well, you just cover all the bases, go to the doc and see what he says. So I booked an appointment with the doctor and explained what I'd been going through. And he says, well, we just need to, send you for a blood test. So I went and had my blood test. Then I got the results back, and the results was my iron count was really low. So it wasn't spiritual so much as physical. And so he says, well, I need to give you some stuff to really help supplement what you're lacking in your blood at the moment. And so he gave me some drops that I was to put under my tongue. And within a few days, the energy levels were back incredibly. And then after about a year, the same thing happened. I just went through this time of real prolonged tiredness. It wasn't that I had a bad attitude or anything like that. It was just, I just felt kind of lifeless, you know? And so I went to the doc and he says, well, we better do the same thing. So I went, had another blood test, and guess what? My iron count was really low again. And it was almost lower than the previous time. And he says, well, look, I don't know that we should be giving you the drops this time. I think you need an injection. You know, mainlining it. So he says, okay, three months, once a month, we'll give you this injection, and that supplemented what I was lacking. And so back came my energy levels. Now that's not, I don't think, specifically related to my immune system, but it's a very similar parallel to some of the things that I want us to consider today. Paul in the book of Romans described a people who knew God and yet they ended up in a situation, if I can get this to work properly, yeah, where they experience empty thinking, which means devoid of force, truth, or success. And where they had a darkened heart, meaning that gave them a distorted perspective. Now, think about this for a minute. How is it possible that someone who knows God could end up with a thinking process that is absolutely devoid of force, truth, or success, and can have their perspective distorted? Well, you see, what we're looking at there is an equation. And the empty thinking and the darkened heart is the end result, but there's a couple of components that were missing. Okay, so first one was that they did not glorify Him. And secondly, that they did not thank Him. And I just want to read that briefly to you. It's from Romans 1, well, 21. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they actually became fools or foolish. So there's some things in here. Basically, what I wanted to look at is three ingredients which are going to help give you and I a shot in the arm in terms of our immune system for a boost. And I don't want to so much focus on the glorifying him or worshiping him component, but I do want to look at this one. All right, so if we consider the fact that every one of us has a level of rights, we have things that we, whether we're consciously thinking about it or not, we feel, well, I deserve this. And especially if it's things that I receive on a regular basis, what I will find is this, that we have an innate tendency to take stuff for granted. So in our married life, for Lynn and I, she does some things on a regular basis. She does some amazing meals, which I'm hopeless at, but I can probably boil water and other stuff like that. But she makes some amazing meals, and she does some other just amazing stuff around the home. Now, if my attitude is, yeah, well, so she should, so what's the big deal? Ronnie and Stan would be happy with that attitude, wouldn't they, from last night? If that's my attitude, then anything that she does in that context, I'm just going to take for granted. I may not express it verbally, but there's a sense of entitlement. Well, yes, so she should. So what's the big deal? Because do you realize that gratitude only kicks in when you receive something that is above your perceived level of rights? You are only going to be grateful for something that you do not feel that you deserve. And so one of the things that absolutely is going to keep us spiritually healthy is a grateful heart. I remember a number of years ago, I heard Derek Prince makes a statement. He says, any time that you or I cease to be thankful, we're out of the will of God. I thought, man, that's a bit hard, a bit harsh. And then he says, 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything, not for everything, in everything, give thanks, for this is God's will for you. See? So what is the key then to increasing our level of gratitude? Well, it's quite simple, really. You just reduce your level of rights. Now, what is really interesting is that the secular media have picked up on this. I haven't heard any of the last few weeks, but a little while back, there were advertisements on radio saying, if you want to give your mental health a real kick shot, when you wake up in the morning, think of five things that you can be grateful for. And they understand that something happens in our mental processes when we focus on what we have been given that we actually don't deserve. So part of what I do, I don't do necessarily every morning, but on a regular basis, when I wake up, I'll say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for this brand new day. Thank you for air to breathe. Thank you for eyes that see. Thank you for ears that can hear. Why? I receive them on such a regular basis, it is so easy for me to take them for granted and say, well, yeah, big deal. But what happens is when you focus on those things and you begin to give thanks for it, it actually not only stimulates you in terms of your emotional processes, but it spiritually is going to keep you incredibly healthy. But you know, that is one aspect of Thanksgiving, which is really important for us to understand. And gratitude kicks in when it's things that we've already received. However, there is a brilliant key I discovered a number of years ago found in the Hebrew word todah. So it's found in the Old Testament. And it's a word for, it's translated in our English language, thankfulness. Okay, but it means this. It has three basic shades of meaning: to extend the hand in adoration, to make a vow, and to give thanks, especially for things not yet received. Now, this can play with our mental status sometimes. I mean, Who on earth gives thanks for something they've not yet received? Doesn't make sense. See, when I was growing up, and you probably have trained your children the same way, when someone gave something to your children, you say, now, say ta, or say thank you, okay? So it's politeness, it's good manners to say thank you. But you see, in the Hebrew culture, there was an understanding that there was something way more powerful than just politeness, way more robust than just good manners. Because when we're looking at giving thanks, especially for things not yet received, this is like a megaton bomb in your spiritual arsenal. And I want to look at one of the scriptures which I discovered, Psalm 50, verse 23. Now, it's rendered, obviously, different ways in different translations, but I love a shade of the meaning which picks it up from the Amplified Bible. It says this: he who offers a sacrifice of thanksgiving, or toda, honors me. Now, I want to pause there and just consider that for a moment. How does giving thanks for something that you have not yet received honor God? It honors him because it's in the context of relational interaction with God, where you know that God has promised. How many of us have had promises of things that we have not yet received? All right? So when you offer a sacrifice of toda to God, it is saying, God, you are who you say you are. I have not yet received what you promised me, but I'm not letting go of who you are. I'm honoring you. I'm recognizing your value. I'm saying you are, if it's provision, Jehovah Jireh, my provider. But you know, the verse doesn't stop there. I love this next aspect. It says this: and prepares the way. This is bringing out the shade of meaning from the Amplified Bible. He who offers a sacrifice of toda honors me and prepares the way so that I may show him the salvation of God. Now that's where it kicks in the power realm. Why? Because you and I have enemies who want to stop us receiving what God has promised us. You are an incredible threat to the kingdom of the enemy. Make no mistake about it. Doesn't matter how you feel emotionally. You, because of who you are a threat to the enemy. And there are assignments to block us receiving the benefits of what God has promised us and made us available. So what happens is, when you lock hold of a promise from God, and you may be experiencing contrary circumstances, you may be experiencing negative emotions, you may be experiencing a lack of that provision having come through, you refuse to buy into what your eyes see, and you lay hold of God and say, God, you are who you say you are. I thank you in advance for what you promised me. And that is releasing, you're sending your words with intent into the spirit realm. And God says, when you do that, you not only honor me, you start clearing the decks for me to come through and show you what you've been believing for, but you have not received it yet. Now that is a power bomb in your arsenal. No wonder the enemy doesn't want us to find this out, man. He'd far rather have you just be polite and say thank you. Leave it at that. Because this is the second thing. So gratitude is the first component in our boosting our immune system. Thankfulness, or toda, is the second. Now, the word toda comes from another Hebrew word, the word yada. And guess what that means? To shoot arrows. To cast down, throw down, to give thanks, and to confess, which is to say the same thing as. One of the examples which sticks most clearly in my memory banks, which sometimes aren't too accurate as I'm getting older, but it was a number of years ago when we had moved from Snells Beach down to Auckland. And in that transition, the year before that, I was teaching music. I had about 40 music students that I was teaching. Lynn, who is an artist, among many other things, had created paintings, and she's had paintings in exhibitions and sold a lot of paintings. And Dan, our son, had moved down to Auckland with us and was looking for a job. He'd been working at Lifeway Ministries, but was now looking for a job in the Auckland area. And so I know this stuff. So I am in my study, and God is not doing a flipping thing. Not a thing. I had students who, because of the shift in location, or, you know, bowed out and said, "Oh, thanks, we'll find a teacher locally," and that was fair enough. So my income was dropping from that source or that channel. Lynn's paintings weren't selling. She had some available for sale. Dan was looking for a job, couldn't find a job. So I'm in my study, and what do you think my emotional landscape is like? You know? And so I'm having, whether you'd call it a sanctified one or not, I don't know, but a whinge. And it feels perversely pleasurable to have a whinge and a moan. And so I was saying, "God, come on now. You know, all this promise, my provider, well, where are you then?" You know? And that was what my heart was feeling like. And then God didn't speak to me audibly, but he did speak to my heart and spirit. He says, "Rob, speak to your circumstances." And I knew exactly what he was saying. That was the last thing I felt like doing. Last thing. But I knew about this word toda. Real pain, actually. And so God was saying, in spite of how you feel, and in spite of the fact that although I am your provider, you have not seen my provision come through yet, what are you going to do about it? How are you going to respond? Ouch. So I made a decision, and fortunately it was the correct one, but it was not one that I felt like doing. I said, "All right, God, I'm going to release to you an offering of toda. I'm going to thank you for who you are, but I'm going to thank you in advance for the provision that I have not seen yet." And it felt as wooden as anything, man. Just so mechanical. So I started to say, "God, I thank you that you are my provider." Now, I'm operating on what I know intellectually, not what I'm feeling emotionally, right? But I'm pulling on a truth that is greater, that trumps my personal emotional landscape. It's the ultimate reality of who God is. And this is part of our training. So I began to say, "God, I thank you that you are Jehovah Jireh, my provider. You have not changed. So, Father, in the basis of that, I thank you for music students coming in. I thank you for a replenishment of the students that you want me to teach," because at that stage, that was my channel of income. "I thank you, Lord, in advance for Lynn's paintings selling them. Father, I decree favor on them. And Lord, I thank you for the job for Dan. In Jesus' name, I thank you. That's going to be a great job." Lord, and I began to, and guess what happened? Circumstances, no change. What did start to change? How I was feeling initially, all right? And so it took a while, but I just continued because the Holy Spirit kept nudging me. Now, this was stretch and grow time because I did not feel like doing it. And I began to do that on several mornings. Now, did anything change in the next week? No. But within a couple of weeks, I began to get phone calls. "Do you teach music?" Yes. And Lynn's paintings, all of the ones that she had available, sold. And Dan got a brilliant job, which he had for a number of years. Wow, thank you, Jesus. He who offers up a sacrifice of toda not only honors me, but he prepares the way in the spirit realm for me to come and show him the salvation of God. Come on now, we're sitting on an arsenal, guys. We're sitting on something that is powerful, that the enemy does not want you to know about, and he certainly doesn't want you to use, because he has no means of standing it. See, remember that story, and it wasn't just a story, it was a factual event, but when God said, and the Israelites were basically surrounded by armies, and in their mind, they're toast, all right? They have no means of counteracting this situation, and God says, "Well, I want you to send the singers out first." Well, can I tell you something? I'll let you into a little secret. They did not sing, we will rock you, all right? One, because the song hadn't been written yet. But the other thing was, what they were doing was taking up the character of God. And they were launching that into the spiritual atmosphere. God, this is who you are. Your steadfast love endures forever. And you better bet that created havoc in the spiritual realm. And it cleared the way of demonic interference. So God, come and show them their salvation. So number one, gratitude. Number two, Toda. But there's another one which I want to look back, and I want us to come back to this area of rights. Because the moment that we start talking about lowering your rights, it can be very nervous territory for some of us, all right? What do you mean? I don't have any rights. What is happening here? Well, the rights that we're referring to are self-rights. Do you have any rights? Oh, yes. Yes, you do. But you know, we have tremendous agitation within our society on all sorts of rights. Human rights, women's rights, gay rights, all sorts of rights. And here is Jesus. I'm going to read it from the Passion Translation. He says this, Jesus said to all of his followers, if you truly desire to be my disciple, you must disown your life completely. Give me a break. Embrace my cross as your own and surrender to my ways. For if you choose self-sacrifice, giving up your lives for my glory, you will embark on a discovery of more and more true life. But if you choose to keep your lives for yourselves, you will lose what you try to keep. Wow. So when he's talking about lowering our rights, in this context, he's talking about lowering our self-rights. So then what rights do we have? We have blood rights. They are rights that are legally ours, not because we deserve them or have earned them or made them ours. They are ours because of the price that was paid to release us from the bondage of the enemy. They are blood rights, they are covenantal rights, they are rights that are legally ours because we have been cleansed by the blood of Jesus. And they're incredibly powerful. Now, here's an interesting thing. If we come back to our medical analogy, for many people, and these are the extremes, spiritual anemia is there because we have a high self-rights count and a low blood rights count. In other words, our self-rights are those things that we're standing up and protecting at all costs because they are what are valuable to us. But we're basically ignoring or not protecting or taking up and utilizing our blood rights. And so, on the converse, if you do a spiritual check, and these are the extremes, one end, extreme of the other, and you have a high blood rights count and you have a low self-rights count, you are going to be spiritually vital. Okay, now that's fine to look at these lovely little diagrams and think, well, okay, I'll go for the second one. All right, but what does that mean in practically speaking? So I want us to look at some self-rights and some blood rights. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on each of them. We could spend a whole session on each of these. But there is the right to be free from difficulty. The right to be in control. The right to operate in my ability. The right to be liked and recognized. The right to let others decide who I am. The right to provide for myself. The right to protect myself. The right to worry. And we could add another one which isn't there. The right to be miserable. This is a sample, not exclusive, exhaustive list, all right? The right to reflect my current culture. In other words, the right to be like everybody else around me. So what are the blood rights? And there again, this is not exhaustive. It's a sample, but will be sufficient, I'm sure, for us to get the picture. What are the blood rights that relate to those? Peace and rest. The right to be led by the Holy Spirit. The right to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. The right to acceptance and belonging. The right to true identity. The right to provision. The right to protection. The right to trust, peace, and rest, which was an earlier blood right. And the right to demonstrate kingdom life. Now, I decided not to go through each of these one at a time, but to put them all up so you can see them all at once, because in everyday life, we find that there's a pull and an interaction between several of these at once. So, for example, let's look at the first one, peace and rest. So, Jesus made this statement in John 14:27. He said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you." What does that mean? It means the world can give you a peace. It can. And that's what we seek from the self-rights one, because the world can give you a peace, and it is simply this: it is the absence of things going wrong. Very fragile. And as soon as things going wrong, your peace is out the window. But the peace that Jesus gives, let me ask you a question. Does Jesus care about your current set of circumstances? Yes. Is he worried about them? No, nor mine. Jesus has a peace based on his awareness that he is in charge. Now, some people say, well, God is in control. Yes and no. God does not micromanage the whole universe, and he doesn't cause everything that happens to happen, but he is in charge. So when Jesus says, look, I'm giving you as a blood right access to my peace. Whoa, come on. Do you mean you've been given access to the emotional landscape of the Godhead? Yep. He's offered to give you his peace, his joy, and his faith. Paul says, the life I live by the faith of the Son of God. Wow. So when I get a situation, and it's difficult, how quickly do I lose my peace? If I lose it quickly, what it means is I've surrendered a blood right that Jesus paid the highest price, his own life, to obtain for me. See, these are not op shop rights. These are blood rights. That the highest price in the universe has been paid to obtain them for us, and we will let them go. We will have a low blood rights count if we don't value them, if we don't see them as for how powerful and how awesome they are, and if we don't appreciate them for what they are, and if we hold on to our self-rights, then that's where you get your high self-right count. That is going to give you spiritual anemia. That is going to give you... See what happens is this. If we were to animate the cells in your immune system, and your immune system comes across a cell that it's not supposed to be there. Hey guys, it's not supposed to be there. Intruder, attack. All right, that's what a healthy immune system does. But a compromised immune system says, oh, haven't seen you before. Are you supposed to be here?
Yep.
Oh, okay, have a good day. See, that is a compromised immune system. And so what God is wanting us to do is, see, surrender our the right to be in control. Because if we have as a very high value our schedule, which we don't want to be interrupted because we've got everything planned, thank you, and then the Holy Spirit says, call this person. No, I haven't got time. You know what I mean? So how high is the value of being led by Holy Spirit? The right to operate in my ability instead of being empowered by the Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians 3:5 and 6, Paul says this: yet we don't see ourselves as capable enough to do anything in our own strength, for our true competence flows from God's empowering presence. Ephesians 3:14, 16, for this reason I bow my knees before the Father, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man. What about acceptance and belonging? The right to be liked and recognized. Should I not want to be liked? Everybody likes to be liked. The question is, which is our priority here? Because we can get on a treadmill of wanting to please people, and the reason we do things is because we want them to like us. It's so subtle and often just creeps into our life. It doesn't just go, I'm here, you know? It creeps up on us. But when we have an understanding of our blood right, you are accepted. Listen to this scripture, beautiful scripture. In the Passion Translation, Romans 8:14, the mature children of God are those who are moved by the impulses of the Holy Spirit. And you did not receive the spirit of religious duty, leading you back into the fear of never being good enough. You have received the spirit of full acceptance, enfolding you into the family of God. And you will never feel orphaned. For as he rises up within us, our spirits join him in saying the words of tender affection, beloved Father. Wow. For the Holy Spirit makes God's fatherhood real to us as he whispers into our innermost being, you are God's beloved child. See, when you know that you are accepted, in fact, you are not just accepted, you are celebrated. God gets so excited about you. It says in Zephaniah, he spins around, twirls about with joy. He sings over you. He is emotionally extravagant in his response to you and I. He thinks you're amazing. In fact, he knows you're amazing. Can you see how there's a tug of war here? When you value your acceptance, when someone chooses not to like you or not to recognize you, that's not going to throw you away because you've got a high blood right scout. You know who you are. And the same as, isn't it fascinating? Most of us hate being told what to do. We're very happy to let people tell us who we are. Serious. When we allow the opinion of others to dictate to us, this is who you are, this is how I see you, this is what you are, so often we just succumb to that. And it's exactly what the enemy wants. Others do not have the right to decide who you are. There is only one who has the right to decide who you are, and it's the one who created you. And he says, you are amazing. If you have been purchased by the blood of Jesus, you are a son, a daughter. You are a member of the royal family of the universe, being trained to rule and reign with him through the aeons of eternity. Someone once said, why stoop to become a president? Come on, you physically cannot get any higher positionally than to be a member of the royal family of the universe. Come on, don't allow identity theft. Don't allow the enemy to pull the wool over your eyes and get you to think that you are anything other than a beloved member of the royal family of the universe, because that is who you are, accepted, loved. And when you have a high blood rights count, you're not going to let that go easy. What about provision? Well, we kind of touched on that earlier in the example I gave from my own life. Get a load of this, guys. 2 Peter, chapter 1, verses 2 to 4. I won't read the whole thing, but grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, seeing that his divine power has granted. Is that present tense, future tense, or past tense? Past tense, has granted to us all things, not just some things, pertaining to life and godliness. If you take that at first value, I mean, that is just, try and wrap your brain cells around it. Really. God has said, I have granted to you, which means I have already said yes. to everything that pertains to life, to your life. That doesn't mean that he's promised me a BMW. It means that everything that pertains to life, God has already said yes to. Oh, P.S., if it's godliness, yep, you can have that too. You try and wrap your brain cells around what does that mean when it comes to provision. God has said, I've already said yes. If it relates to a genuine need that you're having, yes. So what is my response then? I don't come pleading. If Grant said to me, you can have this Bible that's sitting on his lap here, it would be totally inappropriate for me to say, Grant, wow, never seen a Bible like that. Could I have it? See, what's the point of that when he's already said, yes, you can have it? So it changes my response to Father, I thank you. Now, if I haven't received it, gratitude's not necessarily kicking in. I'm grateful for the blood right, but that's when Toda kicks in. Says, Father, thank you. Lord, I thank you. You have already said yes. See, what happens if Grant chooses to fire me from the office? Or if I get made redundant, or if you get made redundant? What happens in the realm of provision? See, if I say, shoot, my source is gone. That's wrong thinking. Your job is not your source. Your job is just the channel through which your source, who is God himself, has chosen to channel this current level of finance. If the channel dries up, guess what? He hasn't changed. He's still your source. So you say, Father, if this channel is dried up, thank you in advance, because you've already said yes to everything that pertains to life and godliness. Thank you for the next channel that's going to open up. I'm all eyes. Where is it? Where is it? I'm looking for it. But I'm thanking you in advance. Can you see the stability that brings? When the enemy wants to take you out by a rodent cell that's trying to invade your system and cause infection and bring you down and compromise your immune system, you say, attack! Yeah. Not having a bar of it. I've got my blood rights of provision. What about protection? Oh, this is a tricky one. Because sometimes we may have been told, come to Jesus and all your problems are over. And I agree that you may have come to the end of your problems. But which end? Jesus has not promised to make us immune from difficulty. He said, in the world you will have what? Trouble. But be of good cheer. Why? Because there is a perspective that trumps it all. So, what is the area of protection then? 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, this is what Paul says, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord will spread rapidly and be glorified, just as it did also with you, and that we will be rescued from perverse and evil men, for not all have faith. But the Lord is faithful. He will strengthen and protect you from what? From the evil one. And so what it's really important for us to understand is you and I are not made immune from difficulty. We will face challenges. So what's the degree of protection that is over us covenantally? Because God said to Abraham, Abraham, I am your shield and your exceeding great reward. God was saying to Abraham, Abraham, it's my right and my responsibility to protect you. And some of us might well say, looking at our journey, well, he didn't do a very good job last time, did he? Look what happened. Because we experienced hurt and pain. Can I bring some balance to this? And this is not a cop-out. In every situation adversely that you and I face, the enemy is seeking to take advantage of it. He's seeking to compromise your immune system. He's seeking to bring you down. He's seeking to destroy your testimony. He's seeking like a vampire to suck the lifeblood out of you. And Jesus says, I want to protect you from the devices, from the designs of the evil one. And it's not a slick formula, but it is this: if we will listen to him, and if we will respond to him, and if we will stand for our blood rights, even though we go through challenging situations, the enemy does not need and will not have access to destroy you and to take those things from you, because you will have a very robust immune system. The right to worry. One of the first things, you see, when I start to worry, I've already surrendered my peace and my trust. Because worry, there's a difference between worry and care. Care is having a responsible concern for something. Worry is stepping into the driver's seat and saying, I'm going to be in control. Does that make sense? So in the area of worry, I'm not going to allow my peace to be surrendered. I place a high value on that. So, Father, in Jesus' name, now that I'm more aware of it, most of us are not at one extreme or the other, with a totally low self-right or a totally low blood right count. All right, most of us are kind of hovering in between. There's some self-rights we're still hanging on to, other blood rights. Yeah, we got this, but we need to grow in the others, and that's part of the journey. I remember Graham Cook sharing a situation, and he was doing a teaching series, and the current topic that he was speaking on was peace. And he said, peace is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. He says, you carry the atmosphere of heaven wherever you are. And he described the situation when he was in an airport terminal and about to just to go into check-in, and a plane flight had been cancelled, and the check-in staff were just, they're in a manic stress situation, you know, just trying to, and there were customers who were being totally antsy and abusing them and stuff like that. And then Graham's turn comes, and he sees that the checkout operator, the check-in person is totally flustered, and he says, well, I can see you're having a real hard day. And she says, yes, it's chronic. And he says, well, listen, I am a man of peace, and I can see you could do with some peace at this time. She says, yeah, sure could. And he says, right, I just decree peace over you. I release peace over you now. And the whole atmosphere changed. Why? Because he took hold of his last blood right. The right not to reflect the current culture, not to be like everybody else around him, but to demonstrate kingdom life. Because you're carrying something. You're carrying something that the world needs. See, if the enemy can't bring that blood rights count down, he's got a major problem on his hands, because you have a right to all of these things. And we may fluctuate. Flip, I don't get this right all the time. But I am growing, and I'm getting more and more excited about how God is wanting us to be a robust people, not an aggressive people as such, but militant. And that we refuse to let go our rights. It's just we know which rights we're holding on to. And when we're very happy to sacrifice our self-rights. So just kind of recapping a little bit, we can either, on the extremes, be closer to that extreme, or we can be closer to that one. It's not a slick formula, but it's encouraging us to be able to understand, wow, if I really lay hold of my blood rights, think what the enemy can't do, that he wants to do. So if we go to our medical analogy, and we were to formulate a prescription out of what we've been looking at this morning, we could come up with something like this. Number one, be grateful for what you've received. And that's just not a mental ascent. It's actually choosing to thank God for the things that you receive. I mean, the fact that you live in New Zealand, the fact that you live in this time in history, have you thanked him for that? Because it's not something we deserve. The fact that you have two or three, depending on what you decide to do, good meals a day, it's not because you or I deserve that. It's everything that we receive is a measure of his grace toward us, isn't it? So be grateful for what you've received. Aggressively thank God in advance, which means not be an aggressive person. It means be militant, and you're focusing on who God is, and you begin to give thanks in advance. So, for example, what has God promised us in terms of our church family? We've got the land, but Janet's already seen the building and seen other things that are around there, okay? So we don't go into pleading mode, God saying, please, please, please bring it. We get into aggressive toda and begin to release such a torrent of thanksgiving in advance that it clears the spiritual realm ahead of us that's trying to put the blanket on and try and put the brakes on what God is doing. So we get aggressive in thanking God in advance. And then the third one, stand up for your blood rights. And that's not all that's on the prescription. Take daily, and there is no quantity limit. Come on now. Paulette, thank you for those songs that you used earlier on. You know, I'm going to sing in the middle of the storm, okay? That's exactly what it's talking about. This is not hyper talk. This is real, down-to-earth, day-by-day reality. So as my heart is encouraged, and as I said, willingly and freely say, I don't get this right all the time. But at least, isn't it amazing how much we know and yet we don't put into practice? But at least if you know it, you've got something to work on. And listen, it may be that you being here this morning or if you're online, that in your journey of life, you've never taken the step of acknowledging Jesus as your Savior. Now, the blood rights that we've been talking about belong to those who are in a covenant relationship with Him, where Jesus paid the price for the payment of all our sins and for forgiveness and cleansing. And honestly, I don't know how your life is right now, whether you can identify with right where we were at the beginning of the session, where there was a group of people who knew that God existed, but somehow they'd slipped into a form of thinking which was absolutely powerless, devoid of success, and their perspective was distorted. It just seems like things don't make sense. This world, I don't know what's wrong, but something is missing. I have good news for you. This morning, you can make this your first step to say, I didn't even know blood rights were available to me, but I want to take advantage of that. But I want to surrender my life to Jesus. I want to know what I was born for. I want to know the genuine who I am, not what others tell me I am. I want to know that I'm genuinely accepted and celebrated for who I am, not that I have to perform to the whims and likes and dislikes of others. Come on now, this is your inheritance. This is coming back to the family. Folks, could we just stand together? And if that is you, and if we can have the musicians, thank you. If that is you this morning and you recognize, wow, I want to meet the one who made me. I want to meet the one who is the only one qualified to tell me who I really am and to show me what He has for me in life. I just want you, as we're standing now, but we're standing as a family, or if you're online, just respond to this in your heart. If you know that you don't at this point have a relationship with Jesus and you want that because that's what you were born for, it's what we were all born for, I would love to be able to introduce you to Him. And I just invite you, just if that is you, just step out from where you are and just come down to the front. And there'll be those to be able to stand with you and be able to introduce you and pray for you. Because this could be the most significant day of your life. Is there anyone there? And if you're online, then we're going to pray corporately as a church family together. And I invite you to, if that is your heart, to join us in that prayer and to mean the words that we're saying, because something incredibly significant can be transacted in the spirit realm in regards to your life. And the access that the enemy has had to confuse you, to belittle you, to cause you to not know who you are, all of that can be stripped away from him as you come into the fullness of who you are originally created to be. It is so exciting. I'm not going to extend this much more, but if that is you, and just ask if you've got someone there, would you come with me? Because we do not want to miss this opportunity of providing that for you to be able to connect with the one who, as we were singing earlier, loves you so intently. You're not just tolerated, you are celebrated. Hallelujah. Just wait one more moment, and then we will pray together for those online. Okay, church family, would you pray with me? Father, I thank you for Jesus. I thank you that Jesus shed his blood that I might come into the family. Jesus, I ask you now to forgive me from all sin, to cleanse me as you promised you would, and to make me a growing member of your family. I thank you that the enemy no longer has right to my life. And Lord, as you lead me, I want to embrace my blood rights and to stand up for what you made available to me by the shedding of your blood. I thank you for that now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you're online and you prayed that prayer with us, we'd love to hear from you. Just drop the office an email at office@lwcc.org.nz. We would love to be able to follow that up. If you would be happy with that, with just some information that can really help you get started in your journey. And so, folks, we want to thank you. And in the words of someone that I heard once say, have a great life.